Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. During every break, I've been reading this story about what it takes to... nutritionally and physically the toll it takes on you to do the Tour de France. And not a good idea.
No, it sounds like
it eats your bones away.
Yeah.
Like, and if you just once it's over, if you stop moving around, it paralyzes your legs essentially.
Yeah.
So you get osteoporosis afterwards because your body starts eating the bone. Because you lose muscle, believe it or not, and you lose, obviously you have no fat anyway, and you start losing muscle, and then it starts eating away at your bone.
It's tough enough, endurance-wise, to bike 100 miles in one day at a high rate. But then you have those mountain stages through the Pyrenees or whatever mountain range they're going through. I mean, some of those hills that they go up, and you have to go up fast, I mean, are just brutal. The
5,000 calories a day.
Oh, my God.
They burn. All right. So, Rich, there's a lot going on in the news. There is you're hearing about people's thoughts on the new Supreme Court nominee there that Trump has. People have varying opinions on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just all about the federal government or the judiciary.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about right here at home.
No, it goes down to the local level. And there are two types of people who show up to city council meetings. One, businesses trying to get permits, and two, maniacs. Have you ever been to a city council meeting before ever in your life?
No, because I'm not a maniac.
Once. Right. See, I have too.
I've
been once.
We have a friend who goes to like all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Who's because there's a reason she does it, but she's like Newton Tab, like she's like all over it, and like she's on message boards, like fighting with like the guys that want to be, you know, whatever local crap there is.
The leaf blower police. They're the ones who show up.
She's a little bit more... They wanted to build around her house, so she's a little bit more... There's a reason.
Okay. I've been to two city council things, and one thing you do find is there's sometimes just people who just want to talk, like who feel important for a moment.
Yes.
And there's also just random people off the street who come in, and let's meet... We should just call this Know Your City Council Armpits of America, because we're going to start in Davenport, Iowa. And this is a lady who walks up to the microphone. This is a zoning meeting that's happening for, I believe it's a grocery store. And this woman has something to say, all right? So the council's sitting there. There's five of them. And once again, these are always broadcast on the best public access television shows.
Yes.
And the remote doesn't stop usually if one of these... It just, you sit there and you're like, all right, maybe we'll get a maniac here. And sometimes you hit the jackpot.
Yeah, like at the trainer I go to, they have like RCN cable and it gets like five channels and one of them is the city council
chair. All right, well, let's go to Davenport, Iowa at a zoning meeting and let's meet this lady.
Hello, my name is Lisa Ann Whitmer Wagman.
Lisa Ann, don't mind your milf pour.
Okay, well, that's like six names.
Lisa Ann, very famous, Nailin Palin, porn star.
Well, she can't be related to Lisa Ann Whitman.
Well, it depends how many times she's married. How many times she's made an honest woman out of her.
Hello, my name is Lisa Ann Whitmer Wagman. I just moved here because I'm getting a divorce. And it's not final till September 18th. My husband will not give me any money. Not one penny. The lawyer won't help me. My husband won't help me. My dad, Marlon Lee Whitmer, he's a minister, won't help me. My stepmother won't help me. My mother passed away 7 years ago. And my dad and Annie Hockhausen, they wrote at Vera French that they both are my parents. Annie is my stepmom. I'm not quite sure why I'm here or what I'm doing, but there's a reason. My lawyer is Justin Tidal.
At that point, did she just like, I want to interpret what she's trying to say.
She's saying she didn't get any money in the divorce. Right. She said her family is not going to help
and
her.
And I don't know why I'm here.
This
and
is a zoning meeting, right?
It's a zoning meeting.
She's trying to get something built.
It's a zoning meeting.
Okay.
Or somebody's trying to get something built.
She's trying to get her life together. And okay. She's reaching out for help.
Okay.
Is there a lawyer in the house?
My lawyer is Justin Tidal. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. I'm moving down to Texas soon. I'm a very loving parent. Very, very, very loving parent. I have a 20-year-old daughter. She's going to college at St. Ambrose this fall. She's in Muscatine College right now. Her name's Brianna Elizabeth. And she is not helping me because she's 20. She's scared. She doesn't want her parents to separate.
Well, she's going through the rigors of Muscatine College. I mean, you can't expect her to be able to help out.
It's like free therapy.
Yeah.
Just roll a couch out there. Just let people talk.
Well, there was a microphone, and she came in off the street.
How old a woman is this?
Oh, she's probably 50.
She's 15.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
She came in, and, you know, there was a microphone, and it was time to, it's like an AA meeting, but it's not.
Or divorce.
Ma'am, we're discussing the rezoning for the Portillos. Do you have any comments on that?
The rezoning for the Portillos.
The Portillos. The sequel to the Fratellis.
They're going
to
move over to Wednesday nights on NBC.
For what?
We're discussing.
Okay, yeah. She doesn't know what's going on. She's going through hard times.
Ma'am, we're discussing the rezoning for the Portillos. Do you have any comments on that?
For what?
We're discussing the rezoning on 53rd for...
Well, I live on 63rd.
Oh.
Okay. Well, now that's makes
a good 10 blocks away.
She sounds angry. Wait a minute.
That has nothing to do with me.
See, that meeting's next week.
That has nothing to do with me.
How dare you interrupt me with your trivia?
I mean, you're talking about the 53rd. That might as well be Timbuktu. What does that have to do with me not getting any money? You fool.
Why live on 63rd?
Well, I live on 63rd.
Again, we're here to hear comments about the rezoning.
Well, I don't like Facebook.
Well, we can all enjoy that.
Apple trees and clouds. Your move.
Let that sink in.
Apple trees and clouds. Pea shooters.
Boom.
I don't like Facebook.
It just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, there was no setup for that.
Well.
None.
You know what the problem is she's one of the Winklevosses.
She's from the Winklevi.
Winklevi. Yes.
Right.
They stole my idea for Friendster.
Well, I don't like Facebook, and I don't like the internet, because I can't find a job.
Ah. Okay. Well, I get it.
Yeah.
These are library people.
Freddie T stuck the landing.
Library people.
That's impressive.
These are library people, weirdos at the library.
And I don't like the internet because I can't find a job. The library blocked my password.
Library people.
The landing.
Library people.
That's impressive.
There's got to be no worse place in the world to work than the library. Just a collection of like helpless lunatics that come in there.
Or the city council. It might be a bad place to work.
The city council, at least you get to flex some muscles. Maybe you get a free, you know, donut when you're walking around town. Like the maniacs that now use the library. Oh yeah. My God.
The library janitor might be the worst job in the world.
I don't even know if there is a library janitor. Based on the amount of feces smeared over the walls of every men's room in every library throughout the nation.
Well, I don't like Facebook, and I don't like the internet, because I can't find a job. The library blocked my password. Now tell me, does that make any sense to you?
Ma'am, we're not here to discuss your personal life. I'm sorry. Do you have any comments about the rezoning?
No, sir. Have a good day.
Well, then I think that settles
Boom.
That. I will show myself out then.
Well, at least she was polite at the end. She didn't want to ruffle any more feathers.
My ex-husband's the killer.
Oh, yeah, it's something different.
All right. The Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive.
We have more of these, by the way. There's no bigger collection of maniacs than people who show up at city council meetings.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, somebody said a few months ago, a guy got up and played a ukulele at a school committee meeting in Natick.
I can't believe I missed that. It was right up the street. The hell?
I mean, they're the new Paul Feinbaum callers.
Feinbaum's a genius. There's always a pool to draw
from. Because
it's
always, it's like anything that's like free. It's like, you know, you get to go to the city council
meeting.
You get
to a certain age. You don't have a job to go to.
You go to the library.
With my time? Yeah.
And you complain there, and then you're sick of complaining there.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five to Sports Hub. You just heard from the second most important player in that particular Super Bowl that Denver won. The number one man on the sidelines was not a player. It was a man by the name of Papa John.
Still one of the more ridiculous moments in Super Bowl history that Peyton Manning wins the Super Bowl. It's probably his last. At that point, nobody really knew, but you thought that was probably going to be his last game that he would play. And the first person he hugs on the field is Papa John.
Yeah.
Not his family, not everybody.
Well, because he knew that Papa John, if he wanted to, because he just slid on a uniform and hucked passes, you know, 70 yards. The whole ad campaign for the Pops was him just, like, draining half-court shots, like, going and tossing the pigskin around, knocking homers, dingers. Papa John, not a humble man. He had the whole ad campaign based on how much he ruled at sports.
Yeah, that was like he was throwing tight spirals to kids in the front yard. There was the one where he showed up at a birthday party and the girl fainted.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Like, that was something he really, like, because you know that he's got to approve it all. So he's sitting there in the meeting.
No,
like,
he's in meetings with creative.
Oh, sure.
There's no question about it.
It's got kids going nuts. Have one of them faint. Let's take it to a next level.
Yeah.
And just start convulsing and go, oh my God, it's Papa John. Speak in tongues. Throw that in there too, as a matter of fact.
Right. So Papa John, not afraid to kick ass. Now, he's got a little flack recently because he said, hey, players, I don't need you taking a knee. This is Papa talking to you. Listen, we got the pizza with the dipping sauce. You get off a knee. And then they said, that's bad. You can't say that. So he went to Twitter and they put up, they're like, hey, we don't like racism. We want everyone to like our pizza, except for like skinheads or something. And then they had the middle finger emoji.
Oh, I remember that. That's right.
It was something like that. But now Papa John, who's very involved with the Louisville program, apparently, and he's in hot water with the Louisville program, he has stepped into it a little bit.
Yeah. So he has now stepped down as the CEO of Papa John's because...
By the way, Louisville's stadium is Papa John's stadium. However, if something happens and he's no longer involved in Papa John, it reverts to his name.
John Schnatter Stadium?
Yes.
Oh, oh, that's great.
Right, Louisville already has enough problems. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they're starting to distance themselves.
No, I mean, there's the basketball program and now this.
So. Well, yeah, the escort scandal and everything else.
They got tons of problems. This is something I didn't need.
Okay, this all comes on the heels of a story that Forbes came with yesterday, came out with. They had a story that cited somebody saying that Schnatter, John Schnatter, was asked during a May conference call to role play through scenarios to help him learn to respond to questions about racial issues. And he was asked how he would distance himself from racist groups online, and he was quoted as saying, Colonel Sanders called blacks the N-word, and he actually said the N-word, but Sanders never faced backlash. The report also said that Schnatter also reflected on his early life in Indiana, where he said people used to drag African-Americans from trucks until they died. The reference apparently was meant to show that he found racism deplorable, but the Forbes source said that multiple people on the call were offended. The owner of Laundry Service, which is the marketing firm that worked with John Schnatter, had terminated their contract with Papa John's and learned about the comments. Okay, so the first thing I thought of when I read this, when they said that there was a role-playing type of situation, was I had just last week watched the Diversity Day episode of The Office.
Yes.
And that's what the whole thing was. It was Michael Scott's great idea that we're going to role play. And remember, he had like, I'm going to assign you each a race and we're going to act out each stereotype.
Right. And they had to put the card on their head and then they had to act like that race.
Right.
And then you had to guess what the race was that they were acting like.
When I read this, I'm like, what is this company doing?
It's an exercise of stupidity. Okay. The whole thing.
And the other thing is that if they asked him to role play, like, you know, how he would distance himself from racist groups online. He said Colonel Sanders called blacks the N-word, and he said it, but Sanders never faced backlash. And then he said, you know, I have an experience with all of this because when I was in Indiana, people used to drag African-Americans with trucks till they died. Okay, first of all, you just don't say the N-word because, you know, you know that's
correct. Right, but contextually, but
it almost seems like he's not being racist there. I'm not a big fan of Papa John, but this seems like kind of a weird way to get him.
First of all, it's like a conference call where race is the issue.
Yeah, and they're asking him to role play.
Yeah, it's not like he was on some conference call with, like, you know, Yosemite Sam with two guns in the air going, just going crazy. I mean, yeah, this was a scenario where you were supposed to be discussing race and how to handle racial questions. And then he's talking about how a guy who ran a, you know, a mega food company used to use the N-word.
And he's in his mind, he's quoting what that guy said. He's not saying, oh, these dumb blah, 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 blah.
Right. Like, it would be like tantamount to repeat it, like repeating a rap song.
Sure. And listen, Papa John seems like he's kind of a cheese ball. I mean,
he seems awful.
He does not.
Like, seems like an awful guy.
He does. But
I read this too, and I'm like, first of all, it's a conference call. Like, what do you like you were offended by the conference call. So what? Like, now you're going to go and narc on everyone, narc on the guy? And then when you read the context of it,
he was asked to talk about race.
And then he didn't go like, hey, Ted down the street says this. He was using the example of a guy that, if not was Colonel Sanders really the guy?
I think, boy, I don't know the whole story.
Say he was, but say Colonel Sanders
was the John Schnatter of
the John Schnatter of chicken.
Which, I mean, could he throw a tight spiral? I don't know.
Well, no, Colonel Sanders was more like a rocking chair guy.
He drove like a super sweet Model T.
Yeah, well, he had to sell his Model T to open his first restaurant.
Okay, that's right.
And then he spent a lot of mucho dinero to get it back. But yeah, I totally read this and I agreed with you. I agree with you completely. It's a racial conference call about handling racial things, which he's incapable of doing. But yes, he used a scenario of another guy who was in a similar situation as him, and that he used the N-word.
That Diversity Day episode is just...
it's fantastic.
He asked them to all, like, role-play, and, like, you know, they're wearing, like, signs on their head. One says, like, black. The best is that Stanley's wearing one that says black. So he's got to ask to act black as a black man. And then, like, they're looking at each other, and everyone's scared to say anything. And he's trying to encourage him, and Kevin goes, I really like your food. Like, no, get into it. Say horrible things. And like, no, we don't want to. But that's what this sounds like. It's like, I mean, I woke up and I'm like, oh, this is going to be funny because he went, what a D-bag and blah, 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 blah. But I can't believe I actually kind of, it just seems like a bad way for this to all happen.
It just seems like it's something that didn't need to be public.
Granted, if you're the head of a major corporation where you have tons of people's jobs at stake, that word should be something that you just... I'm not faulting him. You've heard what I had to say about it. However, it's still just something where he just almost should know better. He shouldn't be punished, but he should know better than to even quote it.
Okay. I mean...
But you understand what I'm saying. It's like if you're... So Peyton Manning, what does he have to say about all this? Do we know?
Peyton Manning's got to distance himself. Yeah. When he runs for governor of Tennessee, he can't touch that. No.
When did he sell his Papa John's stores? Was it a while ago? Is this like insider trading stuff? Like, did he hear about that? Was it in May? Did he know? Because there were reports about there being a CEO of a major food corporation who said something disparaging. And this is like insider trading type stuff where he sold the stock. You know, before it went into the toilet.
Maybe he knew because, like, Papa John, the last time they went to throw the pigskin around, had the yips.
March.
He knew something was wrong.
Sold him in March.
Oh, well, this happened in May. Damn it. I thought that would have been the best conspiracy ever.
Well,
if that would have been the case.
He had the PED sent to his house.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, there you go. Papa John is continuing. Of all the things he's done,
I know.
And all the mistakes he's made, and all the corny commercials he's done, this is going to prove to be his fault.
So it's that Papa John is Uncle Rico.
Yeah.
He is. He's Uncle Rico for Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
I could have played with these guys.
By the way, they use the N-word in context, like on CNN.
Well, when they're quoting people.
Right.
Sure. Yep. Yeah.
Which he's essentially doing there. He's quoting Colonel Sanders. Like, if you repeat, like, say you, I guess you couldn't do it. Like, if someone was like, hey, you got sing this song, and it had the N-word in it, I suppose you can't
do it. Yeah, I still wouldn't do it. That's just a word you just try to completely, you know.
Regardless.
Have that thing that your tongue can't even go there. Well, it's something that people in radio, I think, have conditioned themselves.
Well, maybe that's it. We're looking at it through a different prism.
It's certainly out there. I will tell you that the word is used quite often.
When does the audio get released in this? Because it's going to be released.
It would just be great if he was hammered.
What? I mean, it's like an Ursa situation.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
So you're riding me. Yeah. Colonel Sanders used to drop it all the time.
Hey, you fired up?
You're the new Jay-Z joint?
All they keep telling me and all they've told me is how damn good you are.
Well, right. One thing about leaving this radio station is that our kitchen table in the break room, which is a very impressive break room, has been filled with items that you could pick up. Aaron Hernandez signed Bald, which Fulger and Maz took. And then there was a bunch of CDs, and one CD struck my fancy.
Oh, man.
And it's from a while ago, but it's from a man by the name of Pete Gammons. And it's all music. And it's got the guests that you would assume that would be on it. I have not heard any of it, nor is Rich.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're going to drop a couple cuts on you.
Oh, nice.
The Gam Man.
Yeah, time to come out from his submarine that he usually called us
or
from.
Or his S&M dojo that he was using a whip. But we will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A B.J. Upton-like contract, which is $75 million for 5 years. Your thoughts?
If Scott Boras came to that, they might do it. But, I mean, they're interested. It's all, you know, nobody's ever thought that Scott would let him sign here. And he's going to go out in the market. It's going to continue until February. So, I mean,
I always love that one because I just picture Gammons, like, just absentmindedly whipping a gimp. Like, some gimp in a corner, like, in a leather, like, completely head-to-toe in leather.
And Gamut just sitting there on the phone, kind of like, oh, I got to discipline the Gimp.
That is just, he would have a different sound going on in the background every week. Because for a while we had him on, was it 1 or 2 years?
Oh boy, it was one year.
One year we'd have Peter Gammons on, and he just, there would be another, every week, some sort of strange sound. Did we ever figure out what this was?
You know, the price has to be right.
And I don't want to say what it was, because it
Scott
takes away the illusion.
Scott did not have a great winter last year, with Lokes and Bourne and some of those other guys.
I'll say what it was because it was completely inconsiderate.
In my mind, the next
he was at the gym, and he was in a room with a wood floor, and they were doing work to it, and that's a nail gun.
Oh, okay. So instead of walking outside,
he walked into a room where they were doing construction.
Okay, so this wasn't a Zed's Dead Baby situation, was
no,
it?
No.
This wasn't something, you know.
Leatherette.
This is not caring, is what that is.
Yeah, that's just, and he did that all the time.
Yes.
He was just, he could have cared less that he was on the air, even though he was being paid.
But what does he care about? Shredding.
Yeah, he loves to rock.
Mm-hmm, he does. Now, Fred's right. So this is my last day at this station in Brighton until we move to Dorchester. And what you find when you're moving out is things that have not been touched or moved from their spot for 15 years. Things that have been accumulating dust. There was a Hoobastank DVD in the corner there that Dan O'Brien's like, you're telling me this thing's been here for like over a decade and I didn't know about it? Did you bring it home?
I have one already, but I took that one.
Okay, right, sure. There's signed stuff all over the place. Who found the Aaron Hernandez signed football?
It was, I don't know, but no one took it for a long time.
Well, that was, you know how there's lockers in the hallway? Someone emptied out the Felger and Maz locker, and that was at the bottom.
Oh, okay, well, I have in the trash can here, because we couldn't figure out who this hat was signed by, and we figured out it was Mo Vaughn. We have a Mo Vaughn signed hat, because nobody took it. We just left it out there, but we have, am I exaggerating when I say that we probably found 4 CDs that were inspired by the Red Sox winning the World Series?
Oh yeah,
like there was this one that was called the Possible Dream, which was just a bunch of shooby dooby dooby guys like singing songs about the Red Sox. There was the Gyro Ball CD that came out.
Sure, that's a Don Orsillo special.
That was, of course. No, they had like Jerry Remy just going Gyro Ball like in the background, very odd. And then there was this. This was Peter Gammons, and
this got nothing to do with your ball game. This is Peter Gammons saying, "Hey, not only do I write about the hard ball, but I like the hard rock."
You say nothing to do with the ball game, but before I even opened it up, Fred, what did I say?
You said there was going to be Buffalo Tom and Theo Epstein.
I said, "I guarantee you, Theo Epstein's playing on this album."
Buffalo Tom's huge.
Tedeschi
Gammons. Trucks Band is another one of his.
He does love Tedeschi Trucks. Yes. He loves Tedeschi Trucks. So I opened it up, and sure enough, Theo's right in the middle, right, and just shredding a picture right there. On top of that, Jonathan Papelbon doing backup vocals. Where's the cover of this? Because he named a bunch of like guys from the Red Sox that he got to play on the album.
There was a lot of them.
And of course Arroyo, who we like now.
Yeah. All right. So anyway,
actually, won us over.
Yeah. This is a song by Gammons, and it's called "Death or Glory." Take your pick.
It's like the end of or the beginning of Karate Kid 2, Live or Die, Pal.
This is just like him and Shaughnessy going after the same story. Death or glory. What's it gonna be, Fro?
All right, Gam, give it to me.
Now every cheap hood strikes a bargain with the world.
Yeah, don't sing. Don't sing. This is completely unnecessary. None of this is necessary.
Now every cheap hood strikes a bargain with the world and ends up making payments on a sofa or a girl. Love and hate tattooed across the knuckles of his hands. Or hands as soft as killer, cause they don't understand how death or glory becomes just another story.
Who bought this?
Gammon's fans, man.
Who greenlit it? Nobody. He just paid for that with his own money.
Oh, please. Like, he had to pay for it with his own money. People are like, if Gammon farts on a record, you're going to buy it.
I can just see the guy in the big limousine pulling up to the club. Gammon. It's me. It's Babe. What do you need?
Gammon gets out of the car. There's just like billows of smoke.
That's right. There's like 3 women on this like record executive's arm. Gammon's. What do you got? I got booze. I got babes. What'll it take for you?
He's like,
sign on the dotted line.
Gammons is like, I ain't selling out to no one, Jack. Is it going to be death or glory?
Just another story.
This is a cover, isn't it? That's not his song.
I don't even know. But like,
they're all covers. Okay, is this? This is like, it's not the Ramones, but it's somebody. It's like an old punk band.
Whatever. It really sounds punk. But like, he heard this before it came out. Like, and I guarantee it's for charity. What a great way to charity is.
That's who it is. It's The Clash, which I'm sure The Clash was happy this.
Oh, it sounds just like him. He sounds like Joe Strummer. It does have that pulsating anti-establishment beat to it. Of course it's The Clash. See, I thought it was Black Flag. But okay.
He does Damage to One on the next album.
Listen, he does Straight Edge on the next record, too. I got Straight Edge!
Someone said Joe Strummer just dug himself out of his grave. Just pulling him down, like the Evil Dead, just grabbing Peter.
No, this is why Joe Strummer died. I think Joe Strummer was alive when this came out. Joe Strummer said, why is this allowed?
Be like Kill Bill when he tries to hammer his way out of the coffin.
Right, yes. That's what happened with Joe's trouble.
Just another story. Death or glory. Becomes just another story. And every gimmick hungry.
Stop. Okay, I'm sorry. Go with me on this. Somebody just tweeted me who this sounds like. And I can't believe it's so random, but they nailed it. This sounds like Goofy singing from the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Listen to his voice. Just go with me and imagine Goofy.
Alright, so that's that. Now, this is the second cut apparently is better.
Gosh!
This is called NyQuil Blues.
Okay, who's this by?
I mean, this is someone...
whose legacy is he going to ruin?
Alright, so this is just about being on the road. You know, some people turn to lady heroin. Some people turn to, you know, sex with nefarious women. And some people just go, give me some NyQuil.
Okay.
And here's Peter Gammons talking about that sweet, sweet NyQuil blues.
Well, I walk into 7-Eleven, man, I do what you need. Just a roll of duct tape and a case of NyQuil, please. Well, give me a bottle of NyQuil. I'm rest asleep in my body.
Did he get hit in the head?
Well, I mean, he's obviously been through a lot, but I mean, when this album was made, I don't know.
This is made in 2008.
No, 2004, right? It was like
2004.
Maybe five? Five?
Yeah,
five?
It's old.
Okay.
It's over a decade old.
But the man loves to shred. He does. It's like, who would have expected a blues riff?
Well, no one. I mean, this might have DOS.
Din. I have a feeling there's a certain car dealer who's
that's
like...
That's our glory.
He's tapping his foot right now.
Well, I walk into 7-Eleven, man, I do what you need. Just a roll of duct tape and a case of NyQuil, please. Well, give me a bottle of NyQuil. That rest will sleep in my body needs.
Somewhere Jim Belushi's like, dude, that's lame.
Right, the Blues Brothers 2000 even think this is awful.
Yes, indeed.
Bruno is just like, Bruce Willis said, you can't honk on the bobo like I could.
No, he said that's a real...
Where's album. The cover? Can you get the album? I didn't see the album cover.
Just another story.
All right, well, there you go. Peter Gammons.
Well, I want to... Do we have the one that's got Papelbon singing on it?
Apparently, you can't tell who it is.
Oh, okay. All right.
So there you go. That's the Peter Gammons record.
Yeah. It has the guests on it. Peter Gammons, lead vocals, and then you've got Theo Epstein, electric guitar, on Death or Glory. That was him shredding. He probably played till his fingers bled, if you read that article about him.
Yeah, this is 2006. This
Bronson Arroyo, Tim Wakefield, vocals on one of the songs.
Mm.
You've got Kevin Youkilis, Jonathan Papelbon, Trot Nixon, Gabe Kapler, Don Orsillo singing on one of these songs.
All right.
There you go. So
it's available for purchase.
Everyone made a Red Sox album. Everyone. Yep. Like back in the day.
Death or glory. We'll be back with more from people that are at City Council.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Like, if you're in the Drug Enforcement Agency and you're, like, looking to bust some people, you know, they talk in code, so, you know, you got to know the slang.
Oh, okay.
All right, so here is some of the terms that they use for their agents to get familiar with when it comes to marijuana. Alice B. Toklas, Arizona Ashes, Black Bart, Blue Cheese, Crazy Weed, Crying Weed, Crippy, Dinky Dow, Diz, Giggle Smoke. I mean, all the kids are like, hey, can I get an eighth of that Giggle Smoke? Giggle Weed, Good Giggles, Gorilla Glue, which is actually true. It's a strain. Green Mercedes Benz, Juanita.
A lot of these sound like strains.
Lime Pillows, Pocket Rocket, Rainy Day Woman, Rasta Weed, Righteous Bush, which is what you see after you see the band with Guy Van Rossdale. You go, that was Righteous Bush.
On tour right now.
Absolutely. Sassafras.
Come on.
Get a little Sassafras. Smoochie Poochie. The kids are all going around. They're like, I don't know, man. I mean, pass the Smoochie Poochie. Tex-Mex, Tweeds, Wake and Bake, Young Girls. So they have all those things for you.
Well, this is around the time of year that I thought that we were all supposed to have on the street corners the pot shops, like that anti-drug commercial. Remember that one where the mom was going around and sees her son, oh my gosh, this town has been infected with pot shops.
Yeah, we were driving around Route 9 going towards Wellesley. And they're supposed to be building a dispensary or opening a dispensary around there, and everyone in their front lawns has, you know, don't open this dispensary. Well, it's supposed to have been opened a long time ago, and obviously, even though you vote for something, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen.
When I was out of town in March, I went on a trip that we had to drive through Colorado to get into Utah. So as you're going across the border, it's almost exactly like you're going into New Hampshire, because as I was going from Colorado across the line, it was like fireworks shops, except they had giant flags with big pot leaves on it. So you just had to go right over the border and get your pot. And if you don't know, Utah's like one of the most red states you can get. Like, they are like anti, like Colorado might be one of the bluest. You've got one of the reddest right next to it. So there's we saw not more than a mile down the road, there were two cops that were lining up. They were just kind of sitting on the side of the road. And you know that they're just like trying to pick off people who went across the border to get pot. But it's right there for you. Just like, you know, Phantom Fireworks at Exit 2.
Were they looking for Elefante Pata?
is that one of the terms the kids are using?
Yeah. Elefante.
Okay.
Huh?
All
right.
Were they looking for some tiggity or some zip?
Zip.
As the kids say. All right. City Council has become the new place to go and air your grievances. And
I went down a very dark hole the other day, and I couldn't get enough of this. All of the strangest human beings on the planet, if you want to know where they all are, they're at City Council meetings.
All right. So we will have that for you. No commercials here, just the headlines.